Criminal justice news continues to make national headlines with the killing of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida. Social networking sites are full of commentary on the killing.
Who are you to judge someone just because they're wearing a black hoodie and because of the color of their skin?
If you ever seen me and you decided to chase me and I don't see a badge, concealed carry permit holder. So I don't have a bag of Skittles,
I don't know about you, but if it's dark and late and there's a guy following me, I might start getting a little paranoid.
Many in the African American community are wondering how to talk to their sons about such tragedies. Gerald Gray and his son Jabari sat down to talk at Youth Radio, where Jabari is a development officer. For the multiracial family, the incident hits home.
When you were born, it was clear to me that you would be perceived as black. I knew certain things would happen that wouldn't happen to a child who appeared white. And that meant I had to live the way a lot of black parents live, particularly with black sons. Well, there's a tremendous amount of threat all of the time compared to white kids.
That's true. As I got older and I was out of the house and I was on my own, there were definitely incidents with the police, mostly centered around racial profiling, and then escalated to the point with the Berkeley police.
I think I got traumatized, actually, by a combination of that particular police threat to you under the gun and the incident when you and your friend were surrounded by six guys who wanted to attack you. And in both of those situations, as far as I was concerned, there was always a threat of death.
I'm kind of curious to know why it bothered you so much. You know, you felt the need to reach out to me when this thing happened to Trayvon.
Suddenly, the Trayvon Martin tapes came on the radio, and you can hear him yell once for help. And then there's a shot. And that just triggered my reaction all over again. Because he was obviously young and very afraid and in danger. So even though I knew you were here and safe and not in Florida or not someplace I didn't know, calling you was not really for your safety probably so much as to calm myself down just to hear your voice. I think that's the kind of thing that happens with many, many families where one of the children or more have been in danger. That kind of triggering stays within the parent. And you don't lose it.
When we spoke, it was around 11 o'clock a couple of nights ago. And I guess the thing that struck me the most was the last thing that you said to me, which was, you know, I wanted to make sure that you were safe. I realized that you said that to me not only because I'm your kid, but 'cause I'm black. And so then it kind of threw me back to this moment when we first had a dialogue about there being racial differences between the two of us, because our family has always been very much just that, a family.
Look, where you go, there go I. There's no way I can separate myself from what happens to you. It's always with me. Once you have a child you love, you're hostage to the world. You're part of that child, and you just go where that takes you. You've been my heart, and I thank you for that.
That was Jabari Gray and his father, Gerald Gray. Their story was produced by Youth Radio, which also wanted to find out how young people in the Bay Area are relating their own experiences to Trayvon Martin's story.
It just seems totally wrong. There's definitely something wrong in our society or something.
There are more negative stereotypes for black people in general than there are positive. You never turn on the TV and see a black man being anything other than, you know, a gangster, a murderer, a rapper.
It's like it's a struggle being young and black because it's like you're always looked at, you're always seen as suspicious, you're always going to have this extra thing over you basically that you can't fight no matter what you do. So it's always good to take extra precautions, whether that, you know, saying be like mace or just, you know, carrying yourself like you have some sense is just the way that you have to live.
I'm scared. I grew up in Alameda for most of my life and there's still, I can kind of feel racial tension.
There's been stories, you know, that date back so long from people, you know, getting killed for, like, you know, having inhalers in their pockets or pulling at anything. It hits deep.
I've seen things like this happen to me before, but never to this degree. But it is things like small things like, you know, where the white woman has her purse and she clenches it or they cross the street. You know, the typical things that you hear about. Like the way that this story is being presented, I see more people of like other ethnicities kind of taking a stand. So I feel that, you know, I may actually get more respect from this.
In the ideal America, it's not about accepting each other and loving each other, but I think it would be about finding a common ground.
Nothing is really different about anybody. I mean, my lips might be fuller, my hips may be wider, my hair may be different than yours, but if you cut me, I bleed the same blood as you. It's still red.